Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna Brown, and I am so excited that you have chosen to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, it's encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy. Come on, let's get ready. Let's get ready, ready, ready. Let's open our heart right now to get the word. I'm excited about this word this morning. I've entitled this message, You Have Authority. And it's a very charismatic thing to do, but I want you to look at your neighbor, look at somebody, and look them in the eye and tell them, you have authority. Like, you have it, okay? I remember years ago, I was really struggling, and I've known this. I grew up in very godly family. But sometimes we need to be reminded. You know, the battle was raging, and I remember being in a service, and Paula White was preaching that day. And those of you who know Paula White, she's a little black woman in a white woman's body, too. Anyway, you know what I'm saying? I just love her. And she was taking no prisoners, and she was in warfare mode, and she just said, you need to look at your neighbor and slap him upside the head and tell him, you have authority. So I'm not going to do that, but no slap upside the head. Sometimes we need that. Sometimes we do. Anyways, Father, I thank you for what you're going to do through this word that's going to take root, I believe it, in our soul, and that it's going to help us in the days to come. We know that the Word says at the end of the age that there will be more demonic activity than at any other time in history, and yet you want us to be equipped, and you don't want us stressed out, worn out, beat up, robbed, and all of the other things that the devil comes to do. And so we take authority out over the atmosphere right now, over every heart, over every mind, and even those watching online and that will watch in the archives, and I declare that today a shift takes place in their life, and that they will be strengthened for what is ahead. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. And we're going to take communion at the end of the service today, so we're just going to wrap it all up with the body of Jesus and the blood of Jesus, and we're going to walk out of here like demon slayers. I always say, I don't show up to play. I show up to slay. Okay? We're not here to play. We're here to slay, amen. I'm in a mood. It's good. It's a good mood. So those of you who are joining us today, I'm going to give you a very short review of where we've been and where we are. But I asked a few weeks back who was experiencing another level of warfare. And every hand that in the room that I could see went up. And I was like, okay, so I need to address this. You know, there's times that we love those messages on hope and those messages on how you're getting upgrades and, you know, God's taking you to another level. And man, I love preaching those kind of messages because everybody leaves all, oh, you know, I'm getting bonuses and new houses and a man and a woman and, you know, whatever is in your heart. And it's good to know that God gives us the desires of our heart. But there's just times when you just need to get together as the army of God, review your weapons, and realize, you know, if I'm going to enjoy all these things that God's bringing into my life, I really need to know how to fight. And when you look at the New Testament and many of the writers, what you see is a lot of military terms. They were saying you're going to have to be militant because you're in a battle in three areas. Your mind, which is your soul. The enemy's after your soul. Your mind, your will, and your emotions is in your soul realm, okay? You're going to be in a battle with regards to your passions, your flesh. The Bible says you'll be in a battle of the mind, a battle of the soul. The enemy's after that. Your passions, your flesh. You're going to have to learn how to submit your flesh to the Lord. That's why he gave us, you know, authority and he gave us self-control. But then you're in a battle against this world, this world system, and we're seeing it. We're seeing a rise, and they think they've got us. Those that are running that whole system, they think that they've got us. But I do believe there is a powerful church on the earth that is about to arise. I do. I believe, yes, as the shaking starts to happen, I believe that what's not going to be shaken, the thing that's going to remain, is our faith. It's going to be the people of faith, and I'll prove it to you because as I end this sermon today, you're going to see how we overcome. But today I want to start with, you know, the primary weapons that you've got to have in your repertoire, you've got to have in your on your person and know how to exercise. And number one is the Word of God. Jesus was taken before his public ministry to the wilderness by the Holy Spirit, by God himself, to go through a battle. And just because you're going through a battle doesn't mean that God doesn't love you, that he's abandoned you. Sometimes you're being allowed to be tested because the next season of your life is going to be one of miracles. It's going to be one of your most powerful ministry where the Lord is going to start to flow and operate through you. But if you don't win that battle in private, you will crash and burn in public. Okay? And so you need to know the Word of God. And when the enemy came against Jesus, he was alone, he was tired, he was hungry, he had been fasting, and I'll talk about that as a weapon as well. But we're no different than our Lord. He fought every battle that we're going to fight in the human suit, and he won with the Word of God. Amen? And so you got to get the Word. And I say, you don't need a whole lot of Word. If you're a brand new believer, you just need some Word. And one of the places I would have you start is Luke 10:19 and also Philippians 4:13. You can write those down, and I'll quote Luke 10:19 today. But Philippians 4:13 is just, it was my scripture, my weapon of choice, when the Lord delivered me from drug addiction. How many of you have ever had an addiction and you're on the other side of it and the enemy's telling you can't live without that thing? Yeah? Not at me. You're in good company. Okay, good. A lot of nodders. Some of you are battling things the enemy wants to tell you that you cannot overcome. And Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And, you know, look at that up in other versions, but it says he gives me ability, he gives me power, he gives me skill, he gives me aptitude, he gives me everything I need to be successful, but it's in partnership and it's in tandem with him. So you can't do anything without him, but you can do everything that he's called you to do with him. Amen? So you need to have the Word of God. Jesus shut the enemy down, totally won the battle. Angels came and ministered to him in his weakened state. He comes down off the mountain and boom, he starts turning the water into wine. He starts opening blind eyes. He starts opening deaf ears. In his ministry, healing the oppressed, the demon-possessed, all of that. But he had to win this battle in his flesh first, and so do we. The Word of God. And then this faith wrap battle seat is something that you guys know well. I believe in taking a scripture of the word, which we put faith in the word. And faith is more than talk. It's more than mental assent. The Bible says faith without an action is dead, right? So your faith has to do something. And in that, the Lord honors the doing. We're not saved by doing. We're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. But once we become saved through our faith, he did it all. Now he expects us to exercise faith by doing something. So when you get a scripture and you say, Lord, I'm going to put faith on this and I'm going to sow a seed, I believe seeds break cycles. And so I've taught the church that, you know, find your own scripture and sow a battle seed and just tell me how it went for you, okay? It's not a coercion to get an offering or anything like that. I just believe when you sow seed and you plant a seed in kingdom soil with faith on that seed, it cannot do anything but multiply. It cannot do anything but break through in your life. So that's a big one. And then the full armor of God, I kind of covered this last week in Ephesians 6, which is our big spiritual warfare chapter, where Paul is talking to this church in the epicenter of witchcraft and the occult. And they're getting hit, and he's telling them, look, guys, you need to buck up, put your boots on, get your armor on. He lists what it is. I encourage you to go back and read it. But, you know, we've got a belt of truth. You're going to have to gird up your loins with truth. Right? Everybody say yes. Nod at me. I need a hollaback church this morning, okay? Yeah, okay. You need the truth because the lies are going to come. And these Roman soldiers, they wore robes, but they would... When they were going out to battle, they put on all their stuff, their breastplate, they put on their shield, they had their sword in their hand, they had, you know, good shoes. The Bible talks about the shoes of peace, but that belt was so important because they would take all the loose ends, because somebody coming at you on another horse or whatever could pull you off if you have a bunch of loose things. This represents your thought life. You need to gird everything up, all those loose thoughts, everything like that. They would gird it up, tuck it in the belt, cinch it up, and now they're warriors. They're ready to go. right? They're not going to get yanked off their horse. And so the Lord, you know, through Paul begins to tell them that you need to have all these pieces of armor on. I really believe that the Lord honors the Lord, I put my armor on. It's important to know the pieces. If you're getting hit with lies, just tell the devil I have my belt of truth on and you know what's on. But I don't just know the truth. I have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It's a double-edged sword. I'm going to beat you coming and going. There's not a way that you can come against me that I will lose ever because I have the sword of the Spirit. And I, you know, and so you need to know that. But put that on because the struggle is real. All of us are in that battle. And once you've got these three things going on in your life, it's important to stand in your authority. You need to know that you have authority to use the name of Jesus. I had mentioned that scripture last week, and I'm not going to hit on it today, but it says that Jesus humbled himself and became a man. And through his obedience, his absolute perfection in obedience, and he endured the cross. He went through every bit of suffering. Through all of that, he gained the authority, the highest place. It says the Father exalted him to the highest place in the universe, that there his name has authority. Bible students, stay with me. Where at? In the heavens, on the earth, and where? In the demonic realm. And so Jesus has that authority, and Paul reminds them of that, but I'm going to go to the words of Jesus this morning, and then we're going to end with the blood and the testimony. I can't tell you how many days I just say, I release the blood of Jesus against you. Yeah? I plead the blood of Jesus over my family. My prayer team knows I don't always come back with all the texts and everything, but I'll put a praying hands and like three or four blood drops and a sword. Just to let you know. Which means I'm pleading the blood and I'm praying the word. Amen? But Jesus starts and he tells them in Matthew 28:18, I'll give you context for this. I mentioned some of this last week. In Matthew 28, if you read this chapter, the disciples have come to him. They now know that he's about to leave the earth. He's telling them he's going to have to go to the cross to endure and die and be killed and be raised again in 3 days and blah, blah, blah. And they're asking him questions about the end of the age. What is the end of the age going to look like? And he begins to tell them there will be wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be cataclysmic events, and they're going to start to come in quicker and quicker succession. It's going to be like birth pangs. The whole earth is going to be groaning. He says, you know, kingdom will be against kingdom. There's going to be earthquakes in diverse places. There's going to be all of these natural disasters that are going to start to happen. He says the temple's going to be shook. I mean, there's really going to be nothing left except for the cornerstone. But he didn't tell them when. He said, before the coming of the Son of Man, all hell is going to be unleashed on the earth. And then he tells them this in 28:18. He came close to them and said, all the authority of the universe, heaven and earth, has been given to me. So he tells them that. And then if you go over to Luke, in Luke 10:19, and I'm going to read the Passion to you today because I like the language of it. Jesus says, now you understand that I have imparted to you all my authority to trample over his kingdom. So in other words, the enemy is going to be active on the earth, but you, as a believer, have authority over him, and you're to keep him under your feet. And he says, you will trample upon every demon before you and overcome every power Satan possesses. I mean, do we love the word, right? Just Jesus is telling him, you will do this. And he says, absolutely nothing will be able to harm you as you walk in this authority. So you got to learn to walk in your authority. Amen? He tells them this because he had given them the authority. I don't know, Luke doesn't record how that went, okay? He just had, he told them in Matthew 28, I have all this authority in heaven and earth. And then it records that he gave it to them and he started to send them out two by two. He starts to activate them as representatives of his on the earth to do what he had been doing. What a cool thing, right? They had watched him heal the sick. They had watched him drive demons, legions of demons out of people. Jesus is changing regions. Wherever he goes, the demonic is showing up. Kids are throwing themselves in the fire. People are foaming at the mouth. The man at the Gadarenes is, you know, chained. He's been there for all these years, and we see all this stuff happening. And Jesus now is starting to train his first disciples. And he gets them a two by two. Why? Because there's power in agreement. And he says, now, your agreement on the earth is so powerful. And this is prior to the Holy Spirit actually being poured out on the church. And he says, now you go out and do the work that I've been sending you to do, or I've been doing, right? They go out and they come back to him. And this conversation is happening. They go, they're tripping out. They say to Jesus, oh my God, the demons left. Everywhere we went, it was like, you know, the power worked. Can you imagine? They're like, this is cool. We're doing what Jesus is doing. Look at this. They come back all excited. And Jesus, I got to give you the tone. Jesus is basically going, duh. Duh. It was the big duh moment, right? And he tells them, he says, I saw that punk fall from heaven like lightning. I was there when it happened. He said, look, I gave you authority to trample on him and to overcome all his power. And then he tells him, don't get it, like, calm your jets. He says, you know what? You shouldn't be all worked up and excited about that. In other words, what he was saying is, that's basic discipleship 101. We got people, you got to go to this class, and you got to work your way up to this anointing, and, you know, and after you go through all this, and you get blessed on the head, and they pour oil on you, and somebody blows a shofar over you, and, you know, all of this stuff, and then you'll be powerful. And Jesus is basically just ripping all that away, and he says, you know what, you shouldn't be all, like, goggle-eyed about that. He says, you know what you should really be excited about? Is that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because that's the greatest work in the universe. That right there is the greatest miracle that will ever take place. It's not you commanding a demon to flee. Jesus was basically telling him, that healed your soul. What good is it if you go out in this power that I've given to you and you heal all these people's bodies, but they go to hell? The greatest healing in the universe is that the Savior died on the cross to heal your sin-sick soul. And from that moment of invitation, from that moment of faith, you get the power and the authority of God Himself as a newborn baby. You may not know how to exercise it and use it, but you got power tools. You got power tools. You got power weapons. And we just need to know how to use them, right? I love baby seers because baby seers who come into the kingdom are tripping out all the time because they see the demonic and they just wave their hand and they run screaming. Or they're like, whoa, did you see what I just did, right? I wish we could all see what's going on in the spirit realm. And just what a bad hiney you are. Yeah? But Jesus is basically saying you're going to have to walk in this authority. And then in John 14, 13, he starts telling them to use his name. He says, I have authority in my name. I give you authority in my name. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now I'm going to send you out on the earth. And wherever you go, you should never be overcome by the demonic. You're either going to overcome or be overcome. And so I want you to use my name. In John 14, 13, it says, and if you ask, this is Jesus saying this, if you ask for anything in my name, I will do it for you. Then the Father's glory will be shown through the Son. So anytime you're doing anything in Jesus' name, that's always reflecting back on the Father. The Father is not offended by you using the Son's name. In fact, he gave him the name. He sent him here in the name of Jesus. The Bible says that the Father said, I want him to be named Jesus. Jesus came and he said, I came in my Father's name. Mystery, right? So that name has power. But we got to understand, too, that Jesus clarified that if you ask anything of my name. In John 4:16, let's read it and then I'll give you some stuff on that. Jesus said, this is what I want you to do. Ask the Father for whatever, watch this, is in keeping with the things I've revealed to you. Ask in my name, and a lot of people go, well, I can just ask for these things in Jesus' name, and they omit this part. Ask in my name according to my will, and he'll most certainly give it to you. Your joy will be a river overflowing its banks. Probably one of the most important things that I ever learned as a child was in an A.A. Allen meeting, a tent meeting. And he said this. He said, many people want to know the will of God. I was 5 years old. And he said, he picked up his worn old Bible and he held it up in the air. And he said, you want to know the will of God? Read this. Because this is the revealed will of God. So he said, people, you can't ask for that man's wife in the name of Jesus. Because that is not the revealed will of the Lord. You can't ask for that woman's husband. That is not the revealed will of the Lord. Jesus is saying, if you ask anything according to my will, my revealed will. So say this with me. The word of God is the revealed will of God. So as if I know the word, say it with me. I know his will. So do we know that God's will is to heal? Yeah, good job, guys. You know what bugs me and just irritates me to no end is to go into these dry prayer meetings with people who go, Lord, if it's your will. And they're teaching the Bible, supposedly, to people. It is the Lord's will to heal. It's the Lord's will to provide. And there are people that will pray that, Lord, if it's your will for me to have this provision. And I just want to get up and preach. And then I've been in prayer meetings with you, Pastor Glenn, and it's kind of like, Lord, we thank you that it's your will to provide. We thank you, Lord, that it's your will to heal this individual. We just like, you know, we just start thanking God for it. And you know, you feel the clash because what you have there is a religious spirit, right? That maybe didn't pray with faith and power and it didn't happen for them because they didn't pray with faith and power and trust in the revealed will of God. So now they downsize their expectation and their prayers to fit. Hello, everyone. To fit their experience that they're having in fear, doubt, and unbelief. And it's pathetic. It's not prophetic. It's pathetic. I said to Rod one night, I said, you're prophetic. He goes, I'm pathetic? I go, no, you're prophetic. You're prophetic. You can't hear that wrong. But if you're praying, if it's your will, and you already read the scripture where it shows that it's his will to heal, and you're praying, if it's your will, that's a prayer in doubt. Take the if out and say, Father, I thank you that it's your will to provide this in my life. That's a statement of faith. Yeah? And I'm asking for it to show up in my life in the name of Jesus. Because you have the authority to ask for it. You have the authority to believe for it. You have the authority to speak out and ask. And Jesus is telling us, ask for it in my name. If it's according to my Father's will, it's yours. He will certainly do it for you. And in between the time you prayed and you believe it and it shows up, there's a middle. And there's a war for that word. And the devil's going to tell you, the word of God don't work. because he wants everything to work on our timeline. I wrote a message for tomorrow called Trust in God's Timing. You know, that I love instant things. I love when things show up instantly, but all of us are going to be tested in our faith. When we ask the Lord for something, many times there's a waiting period. What I've learned is it's too long. It's longer than my comfort zone. And we want to tell God when. Okay, now's a good day for this to happen, Lord. You know, but you've got to be committed with your faith to the very last moment. And then it shows up and we're like, wow. Right? Wow. I'm telling you, you guys are about ready for some wow in this season, some wow stuff. You have that authority. Isn't that good to know? We know the revealed will of God because we have the word of God. So when we begin to pray the word, and I love our prayer team. Man, I came in, Melanie, the anointing was all over. She was vibrating like me after two cups of black coffee this morning. She was going on, man. It was good. I mean, you guys got to get here early because the prayer team was activated and they were praying. I'm telling you what, I walked into an atmosphere of glory this morning. It was awesome. But our prayer team don't play. And they don't pray pathetic prayers. They pray prophetic prayers. They come in with the scriptures. And they're in here releasing the word of God and praying the word of God. And we know the word of God is the revealed will of God. So if we're praying the word, we're praying the will of God. And it just has to start showing up in our life. And I think that's awesome. In 1 John 5:14, Jesus is talking again. He says, we can come to God with no doubts. I like that. We can. This means that when we ask God for things and those things agree with what God wants for us, God cares about what we say. You need to know that. God cares, right? Again, in Matthew 21:22, I'm just driving this home. Jesus said, if you believe, you will get anything you ask for in prayer. So let's balance that because he's already been laying out to them. I have all power and authority in heaven and earth and on the, you know, in the demonic realm, and I give it to you, and now go use it, and you can ask anything in my name. And so each writer, if you look at the Gospels, all four of them, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they record a piece of this conversation. But I love that Jesus said, it must be in agreement with my Father's will. But we need to know that he hears, he cares. And when we open our mouth, he's listening. Amen? I'm going to end on this right now, but because we're going to take communion. We're going to fellowship with the Lord and with his body and his blood, the way he said. But everybody's experiencing a different level of warfare. But Jesus knew you were going to be on the earth at this time. And he has built you for battle. He says that as the end times approach, that Satan has an assignment on the earth. And that is to wear out the saints of the Most High God. And we feel that. I do. I watch my parents battle, but they didn't experience the kind of stuff we do. We're so connected. We know what's going on across the world. We know it instantly. You know, if it's not our business, it's somebody else's business. We're so connected. I long to go back to some of those days when I was just a little girl with a fishing pole on the banks of Don Pedro, my dog, a little can of worms, and no television, no national news, no COVID, right? No drama. Nope, just grasshoppers, crickets, whatever I could find to fish with, and, you know, days in the sun. And we get together and pray, and Mom and Daddy knew of a few things that were going on in people's lives. They were pastors, and they carried a lot of things. But it's nothing like what you carry today. Amen? And I want you to know that as John was on the Isle of Patmos, and he's getting the revelation of what's going to be happening. And I believe that, you know, I do believe that we're so close to being, if not the end time generation, maybe one away. Technology is already increasing at such a rapid speed, according to the word of God. All the technology for the mark of the beast, for the Antichrist to take over, for a one world government, for a one world currency, if you're listening to the World Economic Forum and all of those people, it's all there. All the pieces are there. And John is getting this revelation about us on the earth during this time. And if you don't take anything away from this message today except for you have authority and that this is how the church is going to look on the earth in this hour, walk out of here confident. In Revelation 12:11, it says, and they. I'll just stop. They. You're a they. We're the they. And that's not a pronoun. Don't write me nasty letters because I'll just bless you. You're a he or a she. You're not both. And you're not a multiple. And if you are, come and we'll cast the devil out of you because that's not right. They will overcome. Look at the scripture. It says they overcame, past tense. So John is seeing the battle. He's seeing us as it's already done. Yeah? They overcame. I love that. They overcame him, Satan, because of the blood of the Lamb. Saints, that's why we will always sing about the blood. Churches are eliminating singing about the blood. Oh, that's gross. Why would you discard the greatest weapon in your arsenal? That blood, that sinless blood, defeated the devil. The Bible says that he vanquished, look that word up, vanquished every foe when that blood was released at the cross. Every demonic power was obliterated by that blood. We need to sing about the blood. We need to fellowship with the blood. We need to testify of the blood. That blood, he took that himself after he shed it and went into the Holy of Holies in the heavenlies and atoned once and for all for every believer that will ever come to faith in him forever and all through eternity. And the Bible says the angels sing about the blood forever and ever and ever. Worthy is the Lamb who sits on the throne. The Bible says the blood will testify throughout all eternity. Every day there will be angels singing and honoring the blood that was put in the most holy place on your behalf. And we have power to use it on the earth. They overcame him, the Satan, by the blood of the Lamb. And watch this, because of the word. That's why I don't want a silent church. We don't have to be weird and all that. You know, I don't do weird. But honey, you are welcome. You are welcome in, when you come in here to say, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I honor you. I testify that you're my Lord. You want to stand up to your feet? I testify that you're my Lord. Don't ever get bothered when you're sitting next to somebody and they say, I love you, Jesus. And you hear somebody get a little charismatic and open their mouth and say, amen. You know? Watch this. It says, for they, that's us, did not love their life and renounce their faith even when faced with death. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It doesn't mean that we can't enjoy our life. Jesus wants us to love the life that he's given to us. But at the end of the age, it talks about believers being persecuted to such a degree. And we're seeing that today. We're seeing that in many countries around the world. It hasn't quite made it to America, but it is. They're trying to shut you down in the workplace. If you mention Jesus in the workplace, they'll take your business license away. If you mention Jesus, I have a friend right now that's high up in counseling and all of that, and about to lose their license and in a legal battle for their business. Why? because you mentioned the name of Jesus. But it's okay to go into a clinic and see a Buddhist sign and see all these New Age crystals and have them use all of these other, you know, Middle Eastern type meditation things. But if you mention the name of Jesus and you tell them to meditate on the things of the Lord, they'll come and pull your license away from you, right? Jesus is saying to this family and to this era of Christians, you're going to need to be strong. You're going to need to be strong and be willing to never renounce your faith, no matter what kind of demonic assault comes against you. I want you to know I made up my mind a long time ago. When all this stuff happened with COVID and my husband was in a 5-month vegetative coma, and we're trying to take care of him, and they were trying in the state of California to shut us down, make us wear masks. They were telling us that our worship team couldn't even sing without a mask on. That is stupid. That is stupid. And you know what? We would come in and sing, I'm going to sing a little louder. I'm going to sing a little louder. Right? I'm going to raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I'm going to sing. I'm going to worship the Lord. I'm going to glorify the Lord. There is such oppression against the true church of Jesus Christ, of the living God. And I want you to know that you have power and you have authority, but it could cost you. It could cost you. And you got to be willing. But the Bible says, here's our victory. That we have to maintain a loyalty to his name, to the word of our testimony, and to that blood that was shed. And if we will do that, we will overcome. That is not religion. That's not playing around. You got to have a relationship with Jesus, and that happens through faith. Jesus said, I'm making a new covenant with you guys. He told the disciples, I'm about ready to go away. And on the last night he had with them, when he shared a meal with them, he told them, he said, I'm making a new covenant. And he took the cup, which was a cup of bread, wine, and he said, this is the cup of the New Testament. This is my blood. It wasn't his blood. But what he was saying is, I want you to have something symbolic that you do that reminds you often of what I did. And he said, this is my blood that I shed for you. And he took the bread and he broke it, and he said, this is my body, which has been broken for you. I don't want you to ever forget that I'm going to be broken so you could be whole. I, in my body, and I'm going to absorb all the brokenness, all of the sin, all of the pain, all of the sickness, all of that in my body. Don't you ever forget it. I'm doing it for you. And he said, and I'm shedding my blood. All of that religious, ritualistic stuff that happened all the way up to this time, I'm going to fulfill the law. When I shed my blood, no longer will there be animal sacrifices. No longer will there be a need for any other blood to be shed, because my blood's going to be enough to take you from the moment of faith all the way into eternity, sinless, spotless, sealed with your name written in my book of life. Wow! Can we give him praise? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, lift it up. Lord, we thank you even before. We thank you. He said, do it often and remember to me. And he said, don't do it haphazardly. Check your heart and make sure. Make sure. That you've come to me as Savior. Paul, he was very strong in his exhortation. He said, I don't want anybody to take this as it's just some religious ritual. I want you to always check your heart. So I'm just going to pray a prayer right now with all of us, to just a prayer of cleansing. I want you to say this with me. Lord Jesus, forgive me of any sin, known or unknown. I come to you today for mercy and for forgiveness. And I believe that you are Lord, and that I receive it right now by faith. Today, I honor the sacrifice that you made on the cross in your body. And I take this bread as a symbolic statement that your body has given me life and wholeness. Go ahead and take the bread and eat. Say, Lord, I thank you for the blood that you shed. It's enough. You said it was finished at the cross. My name has been written in your book of life. And today, I honor the protection, the provision, and the healing that is in your blood. And I thank you for it. Amen. Go ahead and take your... I want you to do something. I saw this in the spirit this morning. I was praying. Kind of move in and get somebody by the shoulder. Just touch them on the shoulder. Let's all just get somebody together. Come on, move in. Move across the aisle. Thank you, Lord. You know, we are a family. There's power in the person next to you. There's power in you. There's power on the other side of you. And the Bible says a threefold cord is not easily broken. And I just wanted to see, I wanted you to see the picture of what is here in your family. There are so many cords of power. There are so many strands of authority. You are not alone. We are not alone. We are powerful together. And I want you to just say this. I bless the person to my right, and I bless the person to my left. And I take authority over whatever comes against them. And I thank you, Lord, that we are covered by your blood, and together we are invincible. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. If you need prayer, we'll be here. Otherwise, love each other. Awesome, awesome service.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode. It is because of you that this ministry is made possible. We also want to give a special thanks to those who give so generously to this ministry. If you are interested in partnering with us, click the link below in the description to give now or visit our website at soulharvestwc.org. Make sure to follow us by tapping the plus sign in the top right corner of your screen. If today's message spoke to you, please share this episode with your friends and family by clicking the share button. And don't forget to tag us on your social media at SoulHarvestWC. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.